This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon. This is Evan Fowler filling in for Tony Perkins on this great Friday afternoon here in America. So glad to be here with you and glad that you're listening today. By the way, they've got me scheduled for about the next four or five Fridays, so you can either set your clock to be here or not. Just depends on how you feel. Anyway, it's good to be here. It's always a privilege to fill in for Tony. Had an opportunity to see Tony actually last week in Washington, D.C. Was there for the inauguration. And wow, what an incredible experience that was, doing some reports back for Bot Radio Network. And, you know, it's with the technology today in terms of television and such and streaming, it's almost like you can be there in terms of being able to see everything that's going on. But I have to tell you, it's different being there. Rich Bott and I and others were out in the cold, and it really wasn't too bad that day. It was about 40 degrees, cloudy skies, a little bit of sprinkling here and there. But we were out in the unticketed area on the Mall, and it was just an amazing experience, a wonderful blessing to be there. And, you've seen different reports and this whole controversy about how many people were actually there. That photograph that the New York Times put out side by side with the photo from 2009 when Barack Obama's first inauguration took place, the photograph they used was just bogus. It was not what we saw. But that aside, we can put that in the past. But it was a wonderful opportunity. And again, had an opportunity to see Tony Perkins there and all the great work that he does with his folks at Family Research Council. Well, I think we've got a great show for you today. It's been a historic day in many ways, because the 44th March for Life took place in Washington, D.C. this afternoon. And we're going to be hearing some sound bites later in the broadcast, hopefully if we have time, from Vice President Mike Pence, the first vice president ever to address in person the March for Life in these many 44 years since that tragic day when Roe versus Wade was decided. Also, Mia Love, she's the representative from Utah, the first African-American female ever in Congress, as I understand. She's a rising star in the Republican Party, a great conservative, great pro-life lady. We'll have an excerpt from what she had to say there. And then also Kellyanne Conway, who was the campaign director for Donald Trump there for the last few months of the campaign, and also now is one of his top advisors, a very pro-life lady, and she also spoke at the March for Life today. Well, in today's show, we're going to be talking with Congressman Jody Heiss, a soldier in the pro-life movement. This is Pro-Life Day. I love it. And boy, it's an exciting day. Some of the great things that have already happened with this new administration. He's going to provide his thoughts on the March for Life, as well as discuss the Sanctity of Human Life bill that he's introduced to Congress. We'll also then have her in our second segment, Kathleen Sosie. She's the mother of Navy sailor Christian Sosie, who's in prison for taking photos of a classified area of a submarine he served on. And then in our final two segments, we're going to be talking with Abby Johnson. She's the CEO and president of And Then There Were None. She also spoke at the March for Life, and she'll give us a firsthand look at today's march in Washington. If you don't know who Abby is, she was the former director of a big Planned Parenthood in Texas. And I'm going to have her give us a kind of a summary of her story. It's an incredible story. In part, it's incredible because of how she ended up flipping to the pro-life side. And as I said, we'll also play some excerpts from the speeches given by Vice President Pence, Kellyanne Conway, and Representative Mia Love. Well, our first guest on today's Washington Watch, with a pro-life administration now in the White House and a Republican majority in both the House and the Senate, pro-life legislation has serious chances of advancement. Thank you, Lord. With us now is Congressman Jody Heiss. He's a staunch defender of life. He's here to give us his thoughts on the March for Life, and we'll talk to him about the Sanctity of Human Life bill that would define life as beginning at conception. Representative Heiss, welcome to Washington Watch.
Evan, great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me on the program on this very, very special day.
So, were you at the March for Life?
Actually, I've been traveling all day long, and I was not able to, one of the first in forever, a long time, that I've not been able to personally participate in, but we were able to get a message out knowing that I was going to be on the road. And so we've done all we can to participate while not physically being able to be there today.
Well, give us your thoughts on the significance of this year's March for Life, but in particular in the context of the new administration.
Well, everything has changed. You know, this is one of the most exciting times that I can think of in years and years and years. Everything literally has changed right now. We already have some powerful executive orders coming from the president. We've got some great legislation coming down the pipe. We passed the Hyde Amendment last week. And all of these things are culminating in what Vice President Pence said, as I understand today, that life is winning in America. There's no question, Evan. We are turning a major corner, and I could not be more thrilled than what is happening right now.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm going to ask Brent Creeley, our producer, here in just a moment to pull up that clip of Vice President Pence so that you can hear it. At least it's a portion of what he had to say. He spoke for almost 9 minutes, and what we're going to play here in just a few moments is about a minute of that. But if you would, first of all, tell us a little bit about the Sanctity of Human Life bill.
The Sanctity of Human Life Act is absolutely the most conservative pro-life bill that I'm aware of in Congress. It is a personhood bill. It acknowledges and recognizes that life begins at conception and from that point on should be protected without exceptions. It is a strong bill. We're excited that we've got a number who have already co-sponsored this. And, of course, it's rattled the cages of liberals across the country. Our lines have been full all week long from hate calls and mails and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, it is what it is, and we're excited to be able to stand for life. And, you know, it's something that going all the way back to the Roe v. Wade decision, Justice Blackmun at that point said that if personhood could ever be determined, in essence, he said, that if it could ever be determined that it is a baby, a child in the womb, then Roe v. Wade has a chance of being overturned. And, of course, science has more than evidently, clearly, abundantly clearly made that known, and we've all known it within our hearts anyways. But so we're excited to be pursuing a strong personhood bill, and we'll see where it goes.
Well, you mentioned that there's been opposition and phone calls. How are they weighing? Are you getting more calls for or more against at this point, or have you been able to measure that?
Oh, our calls have been inundated with people upset and just very, very hateful, vicious type correspondence with us. But, you know, you expect that when you put bills like this up, and particularly in light of the march that took place earlier this week. And, you know, there's just the pro-abortion group is not going to go down quietly. And they know, just as the rest of us do, that it's a new day in America now. We have a pro-life White House. We've got a pro-life Congress. And the ball is moving forward, and they are not going to be silent, and we certainly have experienced that ourselves this week.
Well, you know, it's like a battle between good and evil, quite frankly. Abortion is evil, and we have been inundated for so long with the I think we've gotten used to some of the rhetoric coming from the other side. And, you know, if we just all we have to do is just look at abortion for what it is, and what it represents and what it means, and then also look at the number of lives, the number of American lives that have been snuffed out. It's somewhere in the realm of 58 million lives taken by abortion in this country alone. It's almost unfathomable. And I've often said, Representative Heiss, that if you were to air an abortion taking place on national television and required everybody to watch it, the hearts and minds of many, many people would flip overnight, I think. And it's also been said again from some on the other side, they challenge people who are pro-life like us about committing to feeding, housing, educating, and providing health care for these unplanned children. How would you answer that?
Well, I mean, education is key, and I couldn't agree with you more. If people were to see and understand the horrors that take place in an abortion, it is absolutely gruesome. And we've seen from everything from the silent screen to live babies that have been born and then killed in botched abortions. It is a gruesome, gruesome act, and there is no question in the world that is a baby. It is a human life. And to be snuffed out like these nearly 60 million have been is inexcusable. And I just thank God that we are watching the turning of the tide in this country, and I am hopeful that we are going to continue to make enormous strides in this 115th Congress to protecting and saving the innocent lives of these children.
Well, let's just take a minute. Again, this is also for your benefit, Representative Heiss, since you've been traveling today. I want to play this sound clip from Vice President Pence as he spoke today before the March for Life.
Because of all of you and the many thousands who stand with us in marches like this all across the nation, life is winning again in America. We are, all of us, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and then among these are life. Then in the historic election of a president who stands for a stronger America, a more prosperous America, and a president who I proudly say stands for the right to life, President Donald Trump.
And there you go. So that's just a segment of what Vice President Pence said today at the March for Life. Again, he spoke for close to 9 minutes. What do you think about that? The first vice president, Representative Hence, the first vice president to actually address in person a March for Life.
It's powerful. Evan, I'll tell you, while I'm listening to that for the first time, I had heard that he had made the statement, but actually hearing it almost brings tears to my eyes with joy that we literally have a White House now, both with the president and the vice president, who are committed to saving life and protecting the sanctity of life. And hearing those words and having met with the vice president personally on a couple of occasions now to discuss these type of things, this is deeply embedded in him. And it is a new day. It's exciting. And, you know, quoting both from our Declaration of Independence, this is our first unalienable right that we have that is God-given. And we know that that is the essence. Life is a gift from God, and it needs to be protected. And I'm so thankful that we are entering a time that not only our society, our culture, but our political system now is on the verge of majorly protecting and defending life.
Absolutely. And one of the other messages that Vice President Pence communicated in his address today at the March for Life was the balance of, yes, we are against abortion. We're very strongly against abortion. But he also talked about, and some of the others who spoke, talked about the importance of the compassion that we need to have for the women who are in unplanned pregnancies and crisis pregnancies. And, you know, there are many more crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers across the country serving those women and helping them, and that's a wonderful thing. And if you don't support one of those organizations, look forward to having you consider that. Well, Representative Heiss, thanks so much for spending a few minutes of your time today on Washington Watch.
An honor to be with you. Thank you. God bless. Keep the torch ablaze.
Thank you so much, and we'll be praying for that bill. Well, coming up next, fighting for life in another way is the mother of Navy sailor Christian Saucier, the Navy sailor who was imprisoned for taking photos on a submarine. We'll discuss her fight for a pardon of her son after the break, coming up here in just a couple of minutes.
Marriages everywhere are in crisis. The divorce rate is sky high. What can turn things around? The key lies in what God has bestowed on mankind, incarnational attachment. Attachment is God's design for human relationships. It is the bonding process that God ordained for us from infancy and throughout our lives. Children who receive the tender gaze, physical affection, and consistent emotional presence of a parent will develop a settled confidence that bolsters them in life. Even during hard times, they are reassured in knowing, "I am not alone." In adult life, they bring the security to their marriages in ways that minister strength, comfort, and healing to their spouses. In a profound lecture by Dr. Jesse Gill, discover more about embracing God's design for attachment for marriage and our Christian faith in ways that bring transformation and growth. Visit frc.org/events to view this lecture and many more.
First Love, the latest album release from Dennis Jernigan, features some of his earliest songs, as well as some new ones. It's a musical return to Dennis Jernigan's first love, Jesus.
You are my first love.
Psalm 32:7 says that He is our hiding place and He will surround us with songs of deliverance. I can't think of a better picture of relationship than me singing to my God singing to me, and true intimacy is just as simple as this. Lord, here's my heart, into me see.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all.
I stand amazed in all of your glory.
First Love by Dennis Jernigan. Available now for a suggested donation of $12.99 at afastore.net.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have, maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Evan Fowler with Bot Radio Network sitting in today for my friend Tony Perkins. Glad you're listening today. Just in case you didn't know this, you can go to a website, frc.org or tonyperkins.org, I believe it is. I'll have to check on that. And also, if you're a Twitter person, at T Perkins, if you want to follow Tony's tweets, frc.org is where you can go for all kinds of information. You can sign up for those great daily emails. It'll keep you informed in a really short period of time. They're very efficiently written, and they'll keep you up to date on the important things that are going on in Washington. That's why they are watching Washington. Well, on October 12, 2016, Navy sailor Christian Saucier reported to prison for taking six photos of a classified area in a submarine that he served on, hoping for a pardon from then-President Obama, which never came. Here to talk about the case is his mother, Christian, the mother of Christian, Kathleen Saucier. Welcome, Kathleen, to Washington Watch.
Yes, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be on. I hope you can hear me okay.
I can. I understand you're somewhere near a McDonald's right now, but it sounds good. Go right ahead. Tell us a little bit, for our listeners who are not familiar with the story of your son, and you know, and it's been in the news. In fact, I think you were on Fox and Friends yesterday morning. Tell us about the story and the situation, if you would.
Sure. So back in 2009, when my son was 22 years old, he was stationed aboard a submarine in Groton, Connecticut. And during that time, in 2009, there were no cell phone bans, and many of the cell phones had just started coming out more and more with the photo capacity on them, or capability, rather. And unfortunately, the men, young men on the submarine knew they shouldn't be taking photos because it was a classified area. All areas are classified on a submarine. You could have a coffee cup in the feeding area, the area where you would eat, and it would be classified. But many of them were taking photos, my son included. And he ended up with six photos on his phone of a classified area, which was his work duty station that he was assigned to. And he had no intent to harm anyone, there was no evidence he ever transmitted those or shared them with anyone. His plan was to have those as something to remember his time in the military, which he was very proud of. And so flash forward to where we are now. As you mentioned, my son pled guilty to having the six photos on his phone this year and was sentenced to 1 year in federal prison. 3 years of federal probation, as well as 18 months of electronic monitoring.
So now, obviously, the talk is about the desire for a pardon for your son. Did you ever talk with anybody in the Obama administration about it?
We never spoke with anyone in the Obama administration. Throughout the last 2 years, with my concern about what I believe to be a definite double standard as well as an abuse of government power that occurred to our family, I've reached out to the Obama administration and no one ever responded to my attempts to make contact. We did, in fact, complete the pardon request and the clemency request. Professor Jeffrey Atticott from the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University in Texas and his team completed the paperwork and submitted it to the Obama administration, and we've received no contact from them whatsoever, not even any acknowledgement that it was received. Now, with that being said, we recognize the fact that, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of pardons that go into an office every year probably, and so my son was one of those, although we did bring it to their attention that it was going and that it was there. We still didn't receive any recognition or acknowledgement of that pardon.
Well, now, you said that there were at least several others on board that submarine who did the same thing. How were their cases handled?
Yes. Yeah, so the two young men that were brought to what's called non-judicial punishment or captain's mast in the military or the Navy, they were reduced to rank, fined about $500, one of them, $300, another, and given extra duties. In fact, both of them are still in the military, in the Navy, to my knowledge, and one of them was just recently promoted to officer. So they were treated very differently than my son. And it was during that time in 2009 when this happened, as I said, many of them were taking photos, and those two young men were used as examples of, okay, this is what happened. Everyone else, if you have any photos on your phones or your whatever, anywhere, just destroy it, no harm, no foul. Done deal, this isn't going to happen again. And unfortunately for my son, his phone was lost during that time, and 2 years later it was supposedly conveniently found in the middle of a dump somewhere, and then someone noticed that there were photos on there that looked to be that of a submarine. They turned the phone into the FBI, which then, instead of turning it over to the Navy, they made a decision to go after my son and create an illusion of what, in their mind, was someone creating or doing espionage. And, you know, I say that lightly, but it's not light because, obviously, in most cases, if this were to happen, it would be turned back over to the Navy. In fact, the Navy chose not to go forward with any punishment for my son. The Department of Justice, as I said, stepped in and the FBI and took it over. My son was convicted of mishandling classified information for 6 photos at the lowest level of classification, the same crime for which Hillary Clinton has not served one bit of time or seen any sort of potential punishment for. And she actually had thousands of emails at high levels of classification, and people's lives were at risk because of what she did. And we also look at Chelsea Manning, whose 750,000 emails that were transmitted, intentionally transmitted, to foreign entities, and people's lives were lost there as well.
We have just about a minute left. Tell us, what are you hoping to do now that there's a new administration?
Sure. So first, I want to just say quickly that we started a Facebook page, American Patriots Against Double Standards, and we would love anyone to sign on. It's American Patriots Against Double Standards. Secondly, we're hopeful, especially in light of the recent interview last night on Sean Hannity's show with President Trump. We're hopeful they're going to review the case and that justice will be done because we feel there's a clear injustice. We're hopeful that they will consider a pardon for my son. And honestly, we're also hopeful that he'll be reinstated and be allowed to have the military benefits that he deserves because he was injured during his time overseas while he was on a deployment on the submarine, and he does have serious medical conditions.
Well, we know this has been a long journey for you and your family. It's been very costly, very difficult, and we appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us this afternoon on Washington Watch, Kathleen.
Thank you. God bless, and I always ask for prayers. I believe God is with us, but we need the prayers of everyone that's willing to provide them. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, God bless you, too, and best to your family. Well, coming up next, we'll talk with Abby Johnson, a former Planned Parenthood director. She's now working in the pro-life battle. She spoke at the March for Life earlier today. Looking forward to talking with her here in just a few moments. We'll be talking with her after the break. You're listening to Washington Watch.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, some important economic numbers come out. GDP, this is a fourth quarter look at GDP. It came in at 1.9%, way below expectations. Some were expecting over 3%. That was really an outlier for sure. But 1.9% is what it came in at. And look, this is threatening President Obama's only shot at a year out of the eight that he might have over 2% GDP growth. Now, this is the second look. We got another one coming, so we'll see where it ends up. But right now, it's not looking good because we also got durable good orders well below expectations as well. So for all the hype and talk about President Trump being left this phenomenal economy, which no matter what happens to GDP is still comical at best. But now it looks like we're not going to even have a fourth quarter, which some were expecting, certainly the liberal analysts were expecting, was going to look pretty good, but not happening. Again, GDP right now, the second look coming in at 1.9%. Durable good orders down. Of course, the indices hit 20,000 and better, 20,100. Every day's a record. So we'll see. I think they're going to back off of that a little bit here as we move forward. We're going to have some down days and good days. Oil looks like it's giving back some of the gains they have made. I'm glad to see that because I was concerned that in the midst of a much higher than expected inventory numbers, that oil was creeping up. Didn't make sense to me, so I'm kind of glad that's pulling back. We're not ready to see real balance in the oil markets just yet.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
This is a new day, a new dawn for life. Why are we here? What does it mean to stand together, to be part of this incredible movement, to face criticism, ridicule, laws and lawmakers that diminish and erode our most basic right and the bedrock of our society? It means to protect and to promote the most precious gift in the world, the gift of life. It means to stand up, stand tall, and stand together against the indifference and the indefensible. And to stand up, stand tall, and stand together on behalf of babies in the womb. It is no coincidence that the first right cited in the Declaration of Independence is the right to life. It is a right. It is not a privilege. It is not a choice. It is God-given. It is unique, and it is beautiful. This dismissive notion of out of sight, out of mind is over.
That's the voice of Kellyanne Conway. She was the campaign manager for Donald Trump for the last portion of his campaign and is now one of his top advisors, a very pro-life woman. She has the ear of the President of the United States. We can be very, very thankful for that. This is Eben Fowler. I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins today on the Washington Watch broadcast. We're so glad to have you here. We have our next guest coming up. We don't have her on the line yet, Abby Johnson, hoping to get her in here with us. And if we're able to do that, we're going to talk with her about the March for Life because she spoke there today, and also maybe get her to tell us a little bit of her story and her observations at the March for Life. And then hopefully, if she's able to stay on the line with us, we'll have her take some questions from you. Let me go ahead and give you the phone number because we will be taking your questions here in just a little while. That number, write it down, is 866-372-7234. That's 866-372-7234. 877-372-7234. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the March for Life. My wife and I and our son, and we actually had an exchange student from Panama who actually had never seen snow in his life, who was staying with us at the time. This was several years back. We went to the March for Life. And, of course, today it was a little bit nicer temperature-wise, weather-wise, although you could probably hear it in that sound clip from Kellyanne Conway. The wind was blowing pretty hard, blowing her hair back. But when we went there, it was probably right around 30 degrees. It was sleeting. But you know what? This is the 44th year for the March for Life, and every year, hundreds of thousands of the faithful come out to Washington, and not everybody can come every year. And in fact, I was watching part of the proceedings today on a live stream, and I believe it was Jeannie Mancini said, "How many of you were here last year?" A bunch of hands went up, and I don't know if you remember what the weather was like in Washington, D.C. last year. Actually, my wife and I had planned to go there. We couldn't get there because it was truly snowmageddon. I don't know how many. They had a foot and a half of snow that just came barreling into D.C. But there were still some of the faithful there, many, many of them, and I think they probably got stuck in Washington. But, you know, it's an incredible experience. If you've never been there before, you know, plan to go. Next year is going to be, you know, again, a significant year, the 45th. Now, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the possibility, the probability that if the Supreme Court keeps going the way it looks like it's going to go with the appointment of pro-life justices, that Roe versus Wade may well be overturned. And I know that the folks at Planned Parenthood and their affiliates and associates would be aghast at the mention of that possibility, but it's the right thing to do. Roe versus Wade was a horrible decision. It should never, never have been done. And, you know, there is the possibility, you know, we may have to recognize the 45th year, but hopefully that would be the last time. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't have to have a March for Life? That would just be amazing. Well, let me play one more sound clip from the March for Life today. Mia Love is a representative from the state of Utah. She is a U.S. representative, the first African-American woman, as I understand, based upon the introduction that was made and some of her comments. Here is a comment from Mia Love, Representative Mia Love.
The life of those unborn have the potential and deserve the chance because they will dream. They will create. They will add their colors to the fabric of our lives. May God bless our women that are struggling with unplanned pregnancies. May we love them. May we embrace them. May we help them discover their power and their potential. But may we never, ever allow our funds to pay for the death of young children. May God spare them. May God bless you for being here today. And may God bless our pro-life.
That's Mia Love, the U.S. representative from the state of Utah. And again, those are some of the kinds of folks who are serving us in Washington, D.C. And you get enough of those folks together, then you can start passing some of these good pro-life bills that have been discussed and talked about. In fact, one that we talked about just a little while ago. You know, it's been a great day in Washington, D.C., the March for Life. And again, you know, seeing the Vice President of the United States, rather, speaking in person at the March for Life. And then the President's one of his top advisors also speaking there and declaring the importance of the life issue. It's a new day in America. We can be very thankful, very grateful, but we need to pray. We need to pray that things will continue to go the right way, that lives will be saved. This is Eben Fowler, Washington Watch. We'll be right back.
Isn't it refreshing to have a president that isn't hostile to Christianity? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's no question about it. The Christian religion was dominant in early America. And there's a reason our country was called a Christian nation. We're going to see this rich history when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June and then the other one in September. In addition, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but you can do both of those tours with us if you would like to. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian as he tells us about our great Christian heritage and history. For more information on either of these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning.
This is a time of madness. It really is. This is from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He said, evil attacks the weakest, denies truth and love, is defeated through Jesus Christ. And I just love that. Evil is defeated through Jesus Christ. And so let's not be afraid. And if you are afraid, then, you know, make yourself right with God.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
The Rapid Response Arm of 8 Days of Hope is responding to tornado victims in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. On January 21st, a tornado severely damaged hundreds of homes and killed 4 people. Will you please volunteer to help Hattiesburg residents? Here's 8 Days of Hope director, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
To volunteer to help with Hattiesburg tornado relief, please visit 8daysofhope.com. Financial donations are also needed to support this ministry effort. To give, please visit 8daysofhope.com and pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this devastating tornado. 8 Days of Hope is a nonprofit Christian ministry.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. This is Eben Fowler from Bot Radio Network. I'm sitting in today for Tony Perkins on this Friday afternoon. It's good to have you listening. Let me give you the phone number because we'd like to have you join in and chat with us today, become part of the broadcast. And the number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Especially if you've ever been to a March for Life, would love to hear from you and kind of hear your impressions of what it was like to be out there, or if you're thinking about maybe going to a future March for Life, or maybe you've been involved in the pro-life movement in some way, a sidewalk counselor, or you work at a pregnancy resource center. Would love to hear your thoughts about where things are going now with this new administration. Again, that number is 866-372-7234. We're having a little trouble getting Abby Johnson on the line, but let me tell you a little bit about her story. If you've never heard of Abby, she was a director at a Planned Parenthood. I believe it was in Houston, Texas. It was one of the big centers. And she was moving on up in the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood. And there were some things that changed her life. And now she's a strong life advocate. And she's formed an organization called And Then There Were None. Apparently, there are a number of other former directors of pregnancy or of abortion clinics who are part of that organization. And she also has a website called, I think it's abortionworkers.com, which is a site where people who are in the abortion industry, whether they're nurses or techs or whatever, who want to get out of it, they help them to find jobs that they can be proud of doing. Now, I know a little bit about her story. One of the things that changed her heart was that there were some gentle, peaceful, prayerful sidewalk counselors and folks who were just standing outside. If you're familiar with 40 Days for Life, I think maybe they were affiliated with that organization. And as opposed to those who, there are different ways that you can oppose abortion, and some, I think, are more effective than others. And let me tell you a story that I heard that Abby told when she was here in Kansas City, actually providing some training to one of the pregnancy resource centers here in Kansas City, Advice and Aid. And she told a story about what happens, the contrast between some of the folks who are out on the sidewalks with signs that show, aborted fetuses, aborted babies, and some of the other, like the Grim Reapers and different things like that, versus those who are there praying peacefully or who are also reaching out to women in unplanned pregnancies and providing resources and directing them to pregnancy resource centers. What Abby said struck me, because, and actually I asked her this question, is how do those two different ways impact the women who are going into the abortion clinic? And what she said was that when the folks are outside with the signs and they're yelling and protesting, they see the Planned Parenthood or the abortion clinic as a safe haven. As a matter of fact, they didn't have to have escorts out there to get the women in. But when the peaceful, prayerful folks were out there who were reaching out and praying and offering help instead of condemnation, they had to get escorts because the women would start heading the other way. So think about that for a while. Different ones listening have been involved in different things here, but that was something that Abby said at that seminar that struck me, and she should know because she was on the other side of the wall, if you will. Well, let me give you the phone number again. We've got a caller I'm going to jump on here with in just a moment. The phone number, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. If you've ever been involved in a March for Life or if you are involved in sidewalk counseling, we'd love to hear from you. Have Iris on the line from Texas, and Iris wants to talk about media coverage of the march. Iris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, I do want to do that, and then I want to make one quick comment, too. I've been involved with the Rockwall chapter of the Pregnancy Resource Center here from its inception, and our church also supports it as a home mission. And I've done the Walk for Life here in Rockwall every year and raise funds. You raise funds on the ones that we do to help the center. And I've done that for the last 14 years. I've never missed a year's raising money for it. So it's dear to my heart because my sister experienced many illegal abortions when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, and it broke my heart to see it. So it is amazing to see what God is doing. So that's my comment. But I also wanted to mention that. So this warms my heart because I pray earnestly for that center for the ending of abortion every single day. But the point was on Channel 5, which is our ABC affiliate, this is Washington Watch was going on. They did cover it. They did have some people that were there, and they interviewed them. In at least somewhat professional way where it wasn't biased. But then they also made the comment about how deeply divided America is concerning it, and they quoted a figure of 59% of Americans are still for abortion, and I wanted to know if that was any way accurate.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I've heard figures all over the place, and it really depends, obviously, Iris, on how you ask the question. In fact, if you watch the March for Life today, they played a television commercial that was aired at some point, I think, before the march, and it showed that there's a much higher percentage of people. If you ask the question, do you think there should be some restrictions on abortion, the percentages are very, very high, and it's a very small percentage. There's only a fraction, maybe. Hopefully, I think it's less than 10% who are in favor of no restrictions whatsoever, which would include up to birth and perhaps even partial birth abortion. So, Iris, I don't think it's as bad as they're saying. And it's interesting you point out the coverage. I don't know if you saw the interview with David Muir on ABC. Where did you happen to see that with President Trump? That I believe it aired a couple of nights ago.
Yes, I did, and like I said, it warm my heart to see that and for him to take a stand for life. This is just amazing to see it, and I'm so thankful for that. But I'm thankful, but I understand exactly what you're saying. It's so biased the way the media comes out, and I only think the reason that they're covering it at all is because I think our President Trump shamed him into doing it.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, I was exactly, that was the word that I was going to say, because he was walking down that sort of colonnade area at the White House that where you often see presidents walk and interviewing him. And David Muir asked the president about the women's march that took place last Saturday, and President Trump kind of interrupted him and said, well, yeah, but, you know, there are going to be a lot of people out there, I don't know if you said tomorrow or Friday, referring to the March for Life. And he said, you people don't cover that. I thought that was amazing.
I hate to even have any news on other than Fox and American Family Radio, because that's the only outlet that you know you're going to get the truth. And Fox, sometimes you have to filter that, too. So thank you so much for this.
Well,
this is a great day for America and a great day for the unborn. Thank you.
Well, Iris, and I want to thank you for the work that the many years that you have committed to helping the pro-life cause and doing something and helping women and helping babies. Thanks so much for that. We appreciate it. Well, you're listening to Washington Watch. This is Edmund Fowler with Bot Radio Network filling in for Tony Perkins today. For those of you who weren't listening earlier, I want to play the sound clip. It's a portion of Vice President Mike Pence. Again, the first vice president ever to speak at a March for Life. He spoke for close to 9 minutes today. I just want you to hear about a minute of what he had to say. Brentwood, if you would roll that, please.
Because of all of you and the many thousands who stand with us in marches like this all across the nation, life is winning again in America. We are, all of us, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and then among these are life. Then in the historic election of a president who stands for a stronger America, a more prosperous America, and a president who I proudly say stands for the right to life, President Donald Trump.
So there you go. And if you want to hear all of what he had to say, I'm sure there are places you can probably find that on YouTube. It would be worth your time to hear it. It's very heartening. Well, I'm going to bring Mike on from Arkansas. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for calling.
So I have an opposing view, and your screener was kind enough to put me through, which is great. My question to you is this. I don't question your beliefs. You're welcome to believe whatever you like. If you'd like to believe that unicorns fell from the sky and created us, go ahead. But why should federal law be dictated by your religious beliefs? In a country where state and church are supposed to be separate, we were founded on that premise. And as a Christian, do what you will, practice any beliefs you will. This is about the abortion issue. But why do you feel you should mandate it for others who aren't of the same faith as you? And what separates you from ISIS at that point, who's trying to conquer the world with their religion?
Mike, great question. And let me respond to that by saying that in the Constitution, we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, life being the first thing. And one of the first responsibilities of our federal government, of course, the federal government has gotten so far out of hand and is trying to do everything, including, including all kinds of crazy research on things that we really don't care about. One of the first duties of the federal government is to protect life. And if we're not protecting the lives of those who are most innocent among us, and those are the babies in the womb, they have nobody, you know, that's the most vulnerable stage of life, perhaps other than at the very end of life when you're frail and perhaps, you're so sick that you have to go into an ICU. But I would plead with you, Mike, to think about the innocent life. And we should all be standing up and saying, why isn't our government protecting those who are most vulnerable among us? It shouldn't be something that we get upset about. We shouldn't be upset that our government wants to protect unborn babies in the womb, for goodness sake. So, Mike, I hope that helps. It may not be the perfect answer that you want, but that's the best I can do for right now. Well, I want to ask Dante from Louisiana to join us here on Washington Watch. Dante, thanks for calling us.
Hey, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing well.
Good deal. Hey, I just want to shoot this out and maybe shed some light on it, how these people can think this way. But how can you claim to be a Christian, be part of the Democrat Party, and then be an abortionist? I mean, it just doesn't go hand in hand. I mean, they're so far on the on the spectrum from one to the other. And if you could shed a little light on that, how they can justify themselves as to be a Christian and believe in a party that promotes abortion, enlighten me.
Well, yeah, I find that difficult as well. And in fact, I think on a broadcast several weeks back when I had the privilege of filling in for Tony, I read some excerpts from both the Democrat and the Republican platforms, Dante. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a peek at the platforms. The platforms, with respect to the life issue, are as different as night and day. The Republican platform. In fact, Tony Perkins was on the platform committee and had the opportunity to provide input to what is probably one of the strongest pro-life planks that there ever has been in a Republican platform. You look at the other side, you look at the Democrat platform, and it talks about choice and this and that. So, you know, I guess you have to ask yourself, why are you supporting a party that's not supporting life? And you know, there have been, in fact, I know, and it doesn't happen all that often, that you have a Democratic candidate for an office who is strongly pro-life. But I can think of one who I voted for because, and this was actually for a local judge position in the Kansas City area. We knew this individual personally. Why he was running as a Democrat was, you know, he had his own reasons, but he was pro-life. So, you know, we voted for him. But, you know, Dante, that's the best I can do on that. You know, I think you have a point there. So I appreciate your calling. Adam is from Iowa. Adam wants to talk about birth control and adoption here on Washington Watch. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was just curious if you believe that someone who is forced with a choice and they're choosing or considering adoption, hopefully they don't. Hopefully they go the route and want to help a kid live. But if they do you believe that choice is something that's made lightly, or do you think it's something that a mother would put a lot of thought into?
And which choice is that?
Whether or not to have an abortion or not.
Oh, Adam, I think it's a very, very difficult decision. And I have some involvement with one of the pregnancy resource centers here in Kansas City, and you know, just enough involvement to have a sense of how incredible the people who work at pregnancy resource centers are. They have women who are in perhaps the most difficult time of their lives. You know, some of them are young women who are not married and they're pregnant, and they, you know, this is not something that they had planned on. And you have women across all age spectrums, many of them in their 20s as well. It's a tough decision. It's obviously a difficult time. And that's why it's so good, Adam, that there are so many wonderful organizations, several thousand across the country, who provide resources and help for these ladies who are facing, again, perhaps one of the most difficult decisions of their life. Does that help?
Yeah, and so we can control it on two ends, right? On the front end, if we're going to really reduce the number of babies that are killed, we would we could work on the front end to prevent pregnancy from happening through contraception. Is that a viable way to reduce the number of unplanned or unwanted pregnancies that might force a person to have to make a choice like that? Do you
well,
think
sure.
Contraception would be a path toward that?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, and there are different people who have different beliefs about, you know, what is appropriate. And again, Adam, thanks for calling. You know, just last comment there, you have to be careful, because some of these birth control drugs that are out there, the pills, are actually abortifacients. For those who are not married, abstinence is the best birth control, of course. So, well, we're not able to get Abby Johnson on the line today. She had a very, very busy schedule and probably got tied up. Hopefully, we can get her back on for another broadcast maybe next week. This is Evan Fowler. Thanks for listening to Washington Watch.
For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.